I want to bring you greetings from my leader, Herbert Chiwanuka. And he knows I'm here. And they are good friends with Nick. And I believe one day he will also be here in PE. Amen. I also want to bring you greetings from my wife, Barbara. I spoke to her this morning that I'm going to meet our wonderful brothers and sisters, and she's praying for me. And so God has blessed us with 6 children, and we have adopted 4, so we are having 10.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. I thank God, last time I was here, I was writing a book, and I was in the house always writing a book, and the book now is out. I gave a copy to my brother Nick, but I've not come with a copy. They are finished. So I'm planning to make more. Maybe next time I come back, I'll come with some copies for you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And this morning I want to share with you from the book of Leviticus chapter 21. Leviticus chapter 21, I'm reading from verse 1 to 4. Are we there? Okay, let me read up to verse 4. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the priests, the sons of Aaron, and say to them, a priest must not make himself ceremonially unclean for any of his people who die, except for a close relative, such as his mother or father, his son or daughter, or his brother, or an unmarried sister who is dependent on him, since she has no husband. To her he may make himself unclean. He must not make himself unclean for people related to him by marriage, and so defile himself." Luke chapter 10 and verse 30. Luke chapter 10 and verse 30 up to 35. In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I'll reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.'" Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you bless your word. You bless us. By the end of everything, the glory and honor will come back to you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. We have read these 2 portions of scriptures. In the book of Leviticus, this was a law that came from God. And God said to Moses, "Tell the priests and the Levites that they should not make themselves ceremonially unclean for anyone who dies." So in those days, a priest or a Levite would not attend burial, because if he comes near a dead person, it will make him ceremonially unclean. And they were given restriction that only maybe when it is a wife, a child, or something just so close to them. And then to the priest, it goes beyond and say, you should not make ceremonially unclean to anyone who dies on your wife's side. That was great. Huh? if your wife, their relatives, someone dies there, you are not supposed to go there and attend burials because it will make you ceremonially unclean. So that was a law. So the Levites, when they come to church or when they are going to minister, when they are moving, they don't go near dead bodies because that was a law that was given by God. Now, we read in the book of Luke chapter 10, we have just read, that one day a man was coming from Jerusalem going to Jericho. For any reason, we don't know, but he was going there. And he fell into robbers, and they beat him up, and they left him half dead. In other words, he was between two worlds. So it will take you to be very critical to know whether he's still alive, because the Bible says he was half dead. So half dead means when you see him quickly, he's a dead man. So he was living in two worlds. So here comes the priest who was going on his way, and he meet this man half dead. So he knew this was a dead person. And according to the law, he should not go near a dead body. So the man had to pass by on the other side. So he didn't want to take trouble because it will make him ceremonially unclean. At the same time, a Levite also came. And when this Levite saw him, he knew this is a dead person. So even though he's like about half dead, maybe if I go near, he will die in my hands. So I don't want to take those risks. So the Levite, according to the law, also passed by. Amen. But now there came another man, a Samaritan. This Samaritan, we call him a good Samaritan, but not every Samaritan was good. In the previous chapter, chapter 9, we see that these same Samaritans, they prevented Jesus from going through their region. They never wanted him to go through their region, so they were not all good. But this one, because of what he did, we call him a good Samaritan. The Bible says, when he came and saw this man, he was filled with compassion. This morning, I want to talk about compassion. Tell your neighbor, compassion. So this man had compassion on him. Now, this Samaritan had his own program. He was going somewhere. I want to bring it in our days. He had, maybe his flight was on time. He was supposed to catch a flight at the airport. So he left home and he had called the people where he was going that I'm coming. My flight will arrive there at such and such a time. Or I'll be there at this time, maybe at this date. So they were waiting for him because he was walking and he was traveling on purpose. He had a program. He was going somewhere. He was not just wasting time. He was going somewhere. But when he saw this man, he was filled with compassion. What is compassion? You can define it in any way you want. But I want to define it my way. Yeah? That's being, sympathy for the suffering of others. A desire to help. Empathy, concern, kindness, goodness, care, kind-hearted, showing pity, reverence, empathy, understand of another's feelings, the ability to identify with and understand somebody else's feelings or difficult. It is the transfer of somebody's own feelings and emotions to another. So this man, a Samaritan, who was going somewhere, he had his own program. But when he saw this man, there was a transfer of the other man's feelings, and this transfer came to this man, the Samaritan. He said, if I was the one there, if I was the one in the same situation, what is my greatest need right now if I am the one there? My greatest need is someone to come and give me help. Someone to show me life again. Someone to show me hope again. I want to live again. So this man said, even though I have my own program, the Samaritan had his own program, as I have told you. He had other things he wanted to do. But because of compassion, he gave up everything and said, let me take care of this man in this situation. Even though he's half dead,
He might die even in my hands, but let me take care of him. So this Samaritan man took care of this man who was about to die. When compassion comes, it doesn't recall that maybe so-and-so said like this, or compassion goes beyond human regulation. Compassion goes beyond laws. Compassion goes beyond rules. The priests were just bounded by law. If someone dies, no problem. Me, I don't care. But I, as long as I'm keeping law. Let me tell you, friend, the most thing you can give to any person is to spare their life, is to give them hope, is to give them life to live again. Amen. So this man said, yes, I have my own program. I have my, you know, my own budget. This is my plan. I had to be there. So even though other people where I'm going, the other program which I'm going to do, they can still be postponed. But life cannot be postponed. I have to save life right now. So this man was filled with compassion and took care of this man. Praise the name of the Lord. So for only this soul, the man said, is more valuable than all the treasures, all the programs, all the things that are waiting for me. This one soul makes the angels rejoice in heaven. Amen. So the man put down everything. Compassion breaks the boundaries of religions, the boundaries of culture, the boundaries of tradition, the boundaries of family ties, the boundaries of color of skin, the boundaries of no man-made rules. Compassion goes beyond all that. Amen. So that is compassion. There was a story of a king who had his mother. They had lost his dad, and the mother helped her so much, so to make this son, be confirmed as a king. So time came, this king was in power, and everyone loved this king. This king was, a just king, was a noble king, and everyone was respecting him. And all the kingdom, they knew how much he loved his mother. They say the king loves his mother. When the king comes to make all judgment or to sit in his throne, the mother would sit next to her, to him. So he loved his mother so much. But there was a law he made that whoever breaks this law must be beaten 50 raps, 50 strokes. If you break this law, you have to be beaten 50 times. So that law was known. So it so happened one day, according to this story, that the mother broke the law. And when the mother broke the law, she was supposed to be beaten 50 stripes. And so everyone in the kingdom was divided. They say the king is so just, he's going to beat this mother. They are going to beat his mother. Other people said, no, he cannot, because he loves his mother so much. So the day of judgment came. So the king stood, sat on his throne, and he put on all his crown, whatever, and put on all the garments, and say, I'm going now to give my judgment. So the kingdom was so, inquisitive to see what is going to happen. What is the king going to do? So the king rode out and said, according to the laws of this land, what this woman has done is wrong, and she must be punished. Wow. Everyone was amazed. How can the king betray his mother? So the law was law. The king could not break the law. So they tied up the mother on the tree to be beaten severely. So everyone was looking at this king and say, what kind of king? Others were saying, the king is just. That's what he is supposed to do. So he keeps the law. So when the soldiers were ready to begin to beat the mother, the king said, wait a minute. So he put off his crown. He put off all his clothes. And he just came down. And then he embraced this mother. And he said, now, you soldiers, go on and beat this woman. You must beat this woman because of what she did. So the soldiers began to beat. But what was amazing, that the mother was protected. There was not even a single stroke went to her. All the beatings were on the king's body. Friends, that was a story in the kingdom. But that's what Jesus did for us. According to the law, we are all supposed to be dead. We are all supposed to be taken to hell. We were all sinners. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. No one was right. No one was doing well. No one was able to do whatever the law required. So, according to God's law, we are all supposed to be crucified. We are supposed to be cursed and beaten. So, the heavens say, go ahead and beat these people. Go ahead and beat these people in PE. Go ahead and destroy them. So, but Jesus said, wait a minute. Jesus, the King of Kings, he said, wait a minute. And he came down and he embraced us. He embraced the church. He said, Father, let the soldiers, let the law goes on and everything. So Jesus was beaten. Jesus was crucified on our behalf. We are the one who made the mistake, but Jesus took our punishment. That's why Isaiah 53 says that the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. Friends, I'm here to tell you that it was because of compassion that Jesus had on us and said, no, I see you are half dead. You are about to die. You are coming from, you know, for any reason, this man was coming from Jerusalem, which is meaning the city of peace, and going to Jericho. So he was leaving the city of peace and going to Jericho, and he was beaten. So we were all living the good way. We all running away from God, going our way. We want to live our own life. Don't disturb us. This is our life. We want to behave as we want. So as we are going, the devil was there waiting for us, and he began to beat us and left us half dead, and we are about to die. Everyone was passing by. The law was passing by us. Because according to the law, we are supposed to be dead. So the Levites, the priests, they passed by us. But according to the law, we are supposed to be dead. But when compassion came, Jesus came and said, no, they are not going to die. I'm going to take care of them. So the Bible said this man took the man to the inn, and he was treated well. And the man said that if there is any other charges, I will come back and pay. What man of compassion is that? Some of us, we think that God is angry, is so angry with us, like we are enemies with God. We are no longer enemies with God because of Jesus Christ, because of that compassion. We should come to God not fearing, but as a friend, not as someone who is there to judge us all the time. Why did you do this? I'm going to destroy you. Some of us, when we are going through some troubles, we think maybe God is, maybe God is doing something to me. Maybe I did this, now God is punishing me. Friends, God is so merciful that if he wanted to punish us, he would have punished us when we are still in our sins. But the Bible says this is the greatest love, that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. So that is compassion. Praise the name of the Lord. So he died for us. So Jesus took our place. He took our sins. He took our suffering. You know, on Christmas, the day Jesus was born, he took our humanity that we may take his divinity. And on Easter, when he was crucified, he took our sinful nature that we may take his righteousness. So there was an exchange at the cross. He took our sins, he took our nature, and we took his righteousness. So the righteousness we are having is not man-made, but it's by the grace of God. Someone just say, yo, take this, it's free, take it, you give me your sins. So, friends, this morning as we are here in this service, as we are here in PE, as we are here in South Africa, we are here in this world, we must know that someone was so compassionate to us that he took our sin. He took our place. You know, there was an empathy that there was a transfer of feelings. So he suffered for us so that we may be free. There's no reason why you suffer, why you condemn yourself. Whatever you did, Paul said that Christ came to die for sinners, of which I was the worst. So Paul was saying he was the worst sinner. So Jesus came. This is a true saying, that Jesus came and died for us. So there's no sin that Jesus cannot give. There's no, guilty that compassion cannot reach. Don't make yourself suffer. You are not supposed to suffer. You are so important that it took Jesus, it took God to come down to die for you. Can you imagine? You are not so simple. You are so precious. You are so powerful. Even though you were only alone on this planet, Jesus still would have died. That's how much he loves us. Even though you are just alone, one person, on earth, Jesus still would have come and died for you. Praise the name of the Lord. So there's no reason why you condemn yourself, why you live in the past. Don't live in the past. You know, forget the past because someone came and took away your past. So you are not supposed to live in guilty conscience. You are always condemning yourself. This is what I did. I did this. Oh God, can you? God already has done. You know, this is the good news. What is good news? News is when you put on TV and watch news, you are watching the news means something that already taken place. They are reporting what has taken place. That is news. So the good news of the kingdom, we are telling you what Jesus has already done. It's a done deal. It's already paid for. For you, it's just to believe it and accept it and say, okay, this is too good to believe, but let me believe it anyway. Ours is just to believe. Amen. 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 The book of Matthew chapter 9. The book of Matthew chapter 9. And verse 35. If you are there, you can say amen. Amen. Verse 35. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Amen. Now here comes our part. Are you ready for it? When he saw the multitudes, when he saw the people, he had compassion on them. The same compassion he had on you. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he told the disciples who are here in Bethesda Church this morning and said, "Guys, can you see outside there? The harvest is plentiful, but there are no workers. There are no people who can go out there and show the same compassion I have shown to them. People out there, they need to have compassion." You know, Jesus said there was a man who had a big debt. And when he was forgiven the debt, he went down and mistreated the one who had a small debt to him. And he said, "What kind of a person are you? You had a big debt, I have forgiven you. Now, for you, someone having something small, you cannot extend the same compassion I have given to you." Friends, I'm here to challenge us. This is Jesus' prayer. The harvest is plentiful, but there are no workers, there are no people to take it out. There are no people to go there. People are not willing. They want to stay in their comfort zone. They want to stay in their convenience. They want to, they are afraid of different cultures. What if I go there? They have a different culture. What if I go there? This was a Samaritan, and this man, we don't know. But he just, when compassion comes, does not ask, "What are their cultures? I am not comfortable. I am not like this." So Jesus is asking, pray that to the Father that workers will come, people who have compassion. May I ask you a question? When you see, when you hear, when you get to know, what do you feel? What comes within you? When you see the drunkards, people, the drug addicts, people, using drugs, when you see them, what do you think? What comes in you? Is it judgment? That's your only mistake. Okay, maybe it's their only mistake, but can you have compassion on them? Can you have compassion on them? No one in their right senses can do what they are doing. People, they are just out of their mind, out of their, they're out of their senses, and they do things. Yeah? If you can recall some years ago, before Jesus met you, how you used to live your life, but Jesus had compassion on you. So if people met you before, and they just mistreated you and just beat you up, and they say it's your only mistake, you wouldn't have been here. But by the grace of God, you are here. Can you extend the same grace, the same compassion to those people? When you look at them, when you see the prostitutes, what do you think? When you see people doing all kinds of evil, When you see the corruption in governments, when you see people divorcing like no one's business, what do you think? When you see people, you know, above, and you see people, when you see the street children, when people don't go in school, whatever you see, when you see wars, violence, domestic violence, people suffering in Africa, when you see, what do you think? What comes in your mind? Many times people say, maybe someone else will do it. Who? There's no someone else. It's you. If not you, then who else? If you don't do it, whom do you expect to do? So the priest came and passed by. The Levite passed by. But this Samaritan said, if I also pass by, who else will help? This man will die. Praise the name of the Lord. I remember I went in one of the villages in Kenya. I think even that village is not even on the map of the world. It was deep down there in the villages. So I went there. I was preaching the gospel. God was saving many people. Here comes a small young man, about 19, and when he came to the crusade ground, everyone was running away. I said, "What's happening?" They said, "That man is very dangerous." Now this man, I don't know. He had spent like maybe 6 months without washing, changing, clothes. He was all full of insects everywhere. This man was stubborn, and everyone knew he was a mad guy. And he was. So, when I preach the gospel, this man comes and says, "I want this Jesus." People are running away, and even some believers, they told me, "Pastor, just leave that one. He's taking your time." I say, no problem. So, I accepted this man, and I called him where I was staying. I took him in the it was just a grass hut where we were staying because it was too deep in the village. So I took him there. So I asked for a basin and water and soap and some medicine. So I took him somewhere and I began to wash him. Wow, the guy was crying because all over he was having injuries and wounds, and he was just crying. And I took some warm water, I bathed him up, and he was clean. Then I took some medicine. Now this was a war. I called some people to hold him because it was going to be more painful. So we poured some medicine on all his body, and the boy was crying so much. The boy cried to the top of his voice. But then we treated him. Then after that, I gave him my own clothes because I said, put on these clothes. And I had my, soccer. I used to be a football guy. So I gave him my soccer jersey, and he put on. The next day, he came on the crusade. Wow. Everyone was saying, who is that one? So the boy was giving testimony, and he was crying that I have lived on this village. You take me as a criminal. I always steal people's things. I'm always beating up people. But the love of Jesus met me. So, and this boy, so we left that village. And this boy was saying, "Why don't you take him where you are going?" And say, "I'm coming from far." So I left him there. But now, news come. Now he's one of the strong leaders in the church. Strong leaders in the church. And the church, there was no... Now, there's a church which began in the next village. And this man is there. He's leading. He's serving the Lord. And people say, but... He was helpless. He was hopeless. Everyone was judging him. No one could have compassion on him. So I say now, if I don't help him, these people in the village, they are running away from him. Who will help him? Eh? So this one, because of this guy, Jesus died. He died for him. So friends, can you really come out of your comfort zone? Can you try to extend borders? Can you say, well, no matter what happens, I'll go. No matter what the culture is there, I'll go. I love, one of the things that made me to be best in class when I was still at school, I never wanted to be challenged by a girl, lady. When ladies challenge me, I say, wow. If they are number one and I'm number two, I say, no, next time I must be number one. How comes this girl is Amen. So what happened? You see, these ladies, the Bible says very early in the morning in the book of Mark chapter 16, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Joseph, Salome, they bought spices, very expensive spices, and they say they are going to anoint the body of Jesus. Very early in the morning, where were the men? The men were hiding in their houses. They were in their comfort zone. We are afraid of the Jews, you know. And while they were walking on the way, they discussed with each other. But there is a big stone there. Who will roll the stone away for us? There is a big stone. Now, the stone was there. That was the reality. But the stone is there, but they are going. We know there is a big stone, but we have to go. That is faith. That's determination. That's compassion. We know there is a stone, but we are going. Anyway, they didn't step back and say, you know, there is a big stone of culture. There is a big stone of we are fear. We don't know how the people look like. We don't know what their response will be if I tell them and they abuse me. The stone is there, but anyway, they are going. And when they reached there, the stone was not there. What they feared was not there. Why? God saw their faith at their moving. The Bible said the angel of the Lord came and rolled away the stone. And when they came, it was the stone was what they were afraid. It was not there. But the thing is, even though they were afraid of the stone, but they are still moving. So some of the things you are afraid of, you will be surprised how God is going to take it away. The question is, are you willing to go? Are you willing to move? Are you willing to leave your comfort zone? Are you willing to go? So Jesus is asking that the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. Amen. As I'm winding up, let me read chapter 15 of Matthew. Are we there? Chapter 15 of Matthew and verse 32 up to 37. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion, for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way. His disciples answered, where could we get enough bread in this remote place to feed such a crowd? How many loaves do you have? Jesus asked. 7, they replied, and a few small fish. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and when he had given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and they in turn to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. Amen. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and even tomorrow. Can you think for a moment? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Maybe I can have 3 volunteers here. If you can run quickly here, 3 volunteers to help me do something here small. One more. So I want us to cross our, to fold our hands. You fold your hands in.
Like this.
Amen. Do you see how they are folding their hands? This one, this hand is inside. This one you can know. This one is out, and this one is out. Now, who is right among them? Who has done it well? So, friends, what I want to show you is this: that everyone is right. That is just their way of doing it. They feel comfortable. Even if tomorrow I tell him to do, I tell them, they will still do the same way, because that is their way. Even if when I'm in Uganda and I make a call, I say, let them fold their hands, I can even prophesy and they say, now Yanni's hand is here and the other one, Jonathan, is out, because that is their way of doing things. That's how God created us. There is a way how God created us. Amen. Even after 1 year, they will still hold their hands like that. Amen. So, the way they are folding their hands, even the way some of you are crossing your legs, you cross your legs because that's the simple way, natural way God made you. We don't cross our legs the same. If you try the other way, you can, but it's not comfortable. You want to change your normal way. Amen.
Thank you, my brother. So, in the same way, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. What he did yesterday, I know he can do it today. I know he will do it tomorrow. So if he had compassion then, he has compassion even today. Amen. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them and said, they have been with me for 3 days and have eaten nothing. I cannot send them away. He told the disciples, give them something to eat. They began to reason. You know, this is a remote place. You just send them away. Let them go there. I want you to understand this. You know, if I don't do it, who will do it? They say, no, send them away. They'll find their way. There's another way. Let them go. Jesus said, no, that's not the way. Things must be done. Bring them. Make them sit down. And he made a miracle, and everyone ate. Amen. So in the same way, this morning, Jesus won't send you, will not send you back home hungry. He will not send you back home today as you came. Jesus cannot allow you to go back home when you are sick because you have been with him in this service. You came for him. You didn't come for a business meeting. This is not a staff meeting for the school. Think of it. We are not here to plan how we are going to vote the next president. We are here on Jesus' business. We are here for him. So if he was compassionate before, so he's still compassionate even today. So he cannot let you go home as you came because you came to meet him, the king. Amen. So he cannot allow you to go back home when you are sick, when you are troubled, when you are suffering, when you are confused, when you are lacking, when you are empty, when you are guilt conscious, when your marriage is in a mess, when you have no children, when you are in sin, when you are, you have still that habit, when you are, he cannot allow you to go like that. Amen. He's so merciful, he's so compassionate. He has been doing that before. Book of Luke, chapter 15, Jesus is teaching the same thing for a full chapter. This son, he said, I'm going, and he lived a wild life. But when he came back to his senses, the father saw him from a distance, and he had compassion on him and said, come. This boy, I don't have time to go into that, but when I begin to talk about compassion, it's too wide. This boy planned. He had his plan. He said, when I go, I'm going to tell my father, I'm no longer your child, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. I have sinned against you and against heaven, so just leave me alone. But the father did not allow him to speak. While he was still far, the father embraced him. He gave him clothes. He gave him shoes. And he made a party. Amen. So God cannot allow you to go back home empty-handed. Maybe you are the one who messed up. Maybe it was your only mistake. He's not counting it on you. Today, this morning, you say, if it's your mistake, count it on me. So Jesus said, count it on me, not on you. You messed up, sorry, but now, when you come back to your senses, count it on me. I'll fix up things. Now you go back and live right. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. So he cannot allow you to go back when you are suffering, when you are in, when your children are, are wild, when you are in problem. So he cannot allow you. Amen. So, finally, I want to read one more scripture and I will pray. Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. Are we there? What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Think about it. If God is for us, who really can be against us? Then verse 32. Interesting. The following verse. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Graciously give us all things. This morning, graciously, compassionately, God is giving us all things, healing,